Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. We're going to be going to Ken O'Keefe this hour. We're going to be talking to Ken about just about everything that happens around the world. He seems to be very knowledgeable and passionate about the truth. Ken is a former U.S. Marine. He served in the 1991 Gulf War, subsequently spoke out about the use of depleted uranium as a crime against humanity and the U.S. military using soldiers as human guinea pigs with experimental drugs that were directly linked to the Gulf War syndrome. He is a social entrepreneur utilizing direct action marine conservation. He is more widely known for leading the Human Shield action to Iraq and survivor of the Israeli attack on the MV Mavi Marmara, in which he participated in defending the ship, and he disarmed two Israeli commandos. On January 7, 2004, O'Keefe burned his U.S. passport in protest of American imperialism and called U.S. troops to immediately withdraw from Iraq. He replaced his U.S. passport with a world passport, subsequently proclaiming himself a citizen of the world with ultimate allegiance to his entire human family and to the planet Earth. He is a legal citizen of Ireland and Palestine citizenship. And I'm so pleased to have Ken O'Keefe join us today. Ken O'Keefe, thank you so much for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Oh, it's a real pleasure, always, and I'm really keen to make ourselves known and see how this year develops, because it's most definitely a very interesting year already.
Well, it is, isn't it? Well, we've got Netanyahu here, and that's the biggest story, supposedly. But in reality, though, what about the story of what happened in Russia with this gentleman being killed in Russia? What are your thoughts about who did that and what the purpose of that was?
Well, of course, it's too early to know exactly what's happened, but the first question that must be asked...
Oh, CNN and knew it right away. CNN yeah. got it right away. It was those Ruskies. It was bad guy Putin. Seriously?
Yes, I have to remember when you're outside of the American bubble, there is a world outside the American bubble, and outside that bubble, we're not rushing to blame Putin and so on. But the first question that must be asked, of course, is who stands to gain? And why would Putin gain? This man was politically irrelevant, quite frankly. He had very little support. He was no threat to Putin at all. And the idea that Putin would order an assassination of this man is just more of the, really ridiculous villainization of Putin. I mean, pretty much everything that goes wrong in his world, it's Putin's fault. Comparing Putin to ISIS, even though we created ISIS, I mean, it's insanity, pure insanity. So if we ask the question, who stands to gain? Putin certainly does not stand to gain, but his enemies and those who are trying to create a war that should never exist, who are trying to propagate a war with Russia, they would certainly stand to gain.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, it was, and I shouldn't have interrupted you on that, but, it's amazing how it was just like that when the plane went down, the Malaysian plane went down, it was the Buk missile. We knew that right away,
yes.
And everybody, on CNN was an expert on Buk missiles within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And so this time it was the same thing. Obviously Putin didn't like the guy, or obviously he had ticked off Putin, or, their editorial comments that they make to try and move you into that arena of blaming one person or the other. I do think that it was for instability, the purpose of instability. But isn't it interesting, though? It was at the same time, though, Ken, as we had the Chicago development of this building that is used for terror or torturing or whatever there. And, the height of hypocrisy where we're saying, horrible Putin killing his people, when in reality we're doing the same thing. I mean, does anybody remember Andrew Breitbart, et cetera?
It's pretty amazing. I mean, it just seems that we need to come up with a new word that's beyond hypocrisy, because it's been so hypocritical for so long. It's a different level. It's hypocrisy on steroids. It's uber hypocrisy. I just don't even understand. I remember back in the whole weapons of mass destruction pretext to invade Iraq, thinking, my God, is it really possible that people are even – how is it possible that people are even entertaining the idea of weapons of mass destruction being a pretext for war, especially when it's coming from the biggest purveyor, user, producer, distributor of weapons of mass destruction on the planet? It was insane to me that even if that were the case, even if Saddam Hussein had – weapons of mass destruction, which invariably many of them would have come from us, even if he did, It wouldn't have been justifiable. But the fact that it was coming from the United States, it was mind-blowing to me.
Yes, and then today the story that ISIS, that the United States has been found to be supplying weapons to ISIS, ISIL, whatever you want to call them.
By accident, right?
Yeah, by accident. Oops, another we are so stupid situation, right?
Yeah. It's really amazing, isn't it? I mean, they've been caught out. They've been totally caught out. The Israelis are providing medical help to these psychopaths that are running around Syria. This is not disputable either, and Israel simply says, it's on humanitarian grounds. They're not even really denying the fact that they are giving these head choppers medical attention so they can go back to Syria and continue to just completely destroy that country. America, of course, through its proxies, has been funding ISIS, just as it did Al-Qaeda and even Al-Nusra Front. All of this is part of our master plan to maintain perpetual conflict, because how can we justify the military-industrial complex unless we have never-ending war? We can't have peace. That's no good at all. But, you know, for a sane person who thinks, my God, what's wrong with the world? None of it makes sense. But when you think of it from the perspective of a psychopath who is well invested in the military-industrial complex and the financial enslavement of humanity, war is the best thing ever. And I believe they, even on a spiritual level, those who are running the world, it's beyond even the greed and the power. There's a spiritual dimension to it. They actually feed off of us killing each other, and they love it when we are really just tearing each other apart.
Mm-hmm. The idea that the United States can only do one thing, and that is kill people, has kind of caught on here since 1991. That's all we're doing now in the name of foreign relations is killing more people. Mm. And I just am astounded that people are continuing to go along with this. I was going over the amounts of money now that we're going to be giving Israel again. I mean, millions and millions and billions of money that people just hand over on April 15th and don't even question that we are arming, aiding, and abetting a country that is going up against another, so they can go up against another country that doesn't even have the ability to bring any weapons into their country to fight back.
It really is amazing. You know, actually what is even declared by the United States, what it gives to, what the taxpayers of America give to Israel, is much, much less than what is actually being given. I can't believe it's escaping me right now. Patriot, James Traficant, he said flat out in a Fox TV interview that Israel gets $15 billion a year when you factor in the trade compacts and the military assistance and all of the things combined. It came out to about $33,000 per American citizen per year that is being given to Israel. Now, this man was a six-term politician, congressman. He was definitely in the know, and I wouldn't disagree with him. The bottom line is the American taxpayer, while they don't have enough funding for proper infrastructure, medical care, education, is flipping the bill for the richest country in the Middle East, which is stirring the pot and helping to justify the military-industrial complex policy of never-ending war. It's insanity, any way you cut it.
Never-ending war. And I think, I don't know what you think is going to happen with ISIS or ISIL if this charade is going to continue in this fashion. But do you think we will send our own troops over there to fight this imaginary cartoon group of people?
Well, what's clear to me is that when all the stops are pulled out to carry out some sort of manipulation, generally with false flags, that a lot of the people still have a knee-jerk reaction and will do exactly. A perfect example of that is the whole Paris shootings, the Charlie Hebdo thing. Beyond ridiculous that this is about free speech and whatnot. It's perfectly fine to completely insult every Muslim on the planet with the most hideous of cartoons and things like this. But of course, we would never stand for such things if the target were, say, the Holocaust or Jewish people or other subjects which are taboo. The knee-jerk reaction is one that is very effective. However, on the backside of the immediate response that is very good for the powers that be is more and more people becoming engaged and becoming aware. And I do believe that, you know, when we look at the creation of ISIS, which really only came into fruition, really became known in the last year, 2 years, we see that on the, in the immediate, they got massive results. But on the back end of it, a lot of people are starting to realize, yes, actually, Israel is giving them medical attention. Our proxies, our good friends in Saudi Arabia, who benefit to the tune of tens of billions in arms trading and whatnot, they're the ones that are funding these people along with Qatar. This is all very important, and I believe a lot of people are catching on to this.
I can only hope, and you're doing your share of work on this, and we're going to continue, and we're going to give you a voice on the Power Hour. We'll be back after this four-minute break. This is Joyce Riley. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. Ken O'Keefe is our guest today. I'll give you his website. It is worldcitizen.uk.net. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Wanting to know what's really going on and not what CNN wants you to think is going on. We're talking to Ken O'Keefe, and I just love talking with him about the issues that are the real issues. He sees beyond the smoke, ladies and gentlemen, and that is such a gift. And part of that smoke that we're seeing today is the Netanyahu visit. I mean, this is a good cop, bad cop. I mean, how dare they have invited Netanyahu here, Ken, without the permission or without the knowledge or going to the president. I mean, is this a real story or is there something more here?
Well, this is, I think, really amazing. I mean, first off, there's only one other head of state that has ever been invited to speak before the Congress three times, and that was Winston Churchill. So apparently, in the modern era, we put Netanyahu on par with Winston Churchill. Now, I'm no fan of Winston Churchill, but the bottom line is there's a lot of respect for Churchill throughout the world, and certainly many of the older generation think he's a great hero. So it's interesting that we would put Netanyahu on par. Aside from that, I'm definitely a firm believer in the understanding that the world is run by people who are in the shadows, behind the scenes. They own and control the major banks and effectively have control of the money. They have an infinite supply of money. With that money, they have bought everything and everyone that can be bought. So when we look at all of these people in front of us, prime ministers and presidents and so on, these people are all puppets. And this would explain why their policies are generally the same. You know, yeah, the image may be slightly different, but the actual policies remain the same. And that's because they're not representing the interests of the people. They're representing the interests of those who control them, and that would be those who control the finance, the money. So Obama, in this with this understanding, is meant to look adversarial because there's too many people starting to realize that Democrat, Republican, Tory, Labor, left, right, whatever, it doesn't matter. The only candidates that are put in front of you that have any chance of winning so-called Democratic elections are actually puppets. And even if you vote in the right or the left, Obama's a perfect example. I mean, come on, what has this man done? How are the policies any significantly different from Obama? I mean, really, seriously, there's no real difference. And that's because he works for the same people that George Bush worked for, and Clinton, and Bush before him, and Reagan, and so on and so forth. The last president that had any integrity was John F. Kennedy. And I'm actually becoming more and more proud of America in knowing that at least we had one president that was genuine, real, a real patriot, an honorable man. And of course, he paid a price. And that brings us back to Israel. And a lot of the things that Israel is doing today would have been stopped had Kennedy not been killed. And I don't see that as being a coincidence either.
Well, I think that when we look at this whole thing, since probably Kennedy is the time that some of us started figuring out that something is wrong here, we realize that what we see is not what is real at all. And behind all this are the powers that bring these things into being. And Obama is nothing more than one of those puppets that is doing exactly what he's told to do. What do you think that the game that they're playing between Netanyahu and Obama is? You know, Netanyahu, Obama, Boehner, the House. What is this all about? I mean, what are they trying to get across to the people?
This is extremely important for them because what they are trying to achieve is to make it look like there are truly adversarial elements within a democratic society. If people firmly believe and understand the truth, which is there is no difference, these people have different faces, some are black, some are white, some are left, some are right, doesn't really matter. They all work for the same individuals who run the world. So they have to perpetuate the illusion that there is adversarial roles. So in this case, it's very important, especially right now with more and more people becoming aware of America's subservience to Israel, it's becoming critically important that it is at least an appearance of adversarialism. Otherwise, people are going to get even angrier knowing that their country has literally been hijacked and is being run by foreign hostile agents who are definitely controlling the U.S. military as well and using American sons and daughters to go fight wars for Israel and Israeli expansion, the Greater Israel Project. This is actually what's happening. So it's critical for the powers that be that they make it look like President Obama is adversarial to Israel.
Yeah. To look like that. In reality, you know, we're writing checks as fast as we can or, you know, sending money via computer to them as much as we can. I mean, we're arming that country with billions of dollars that we don't have, number one, and that our people, if they only understood, they are allowing this money to be taken out of their paychecks to pay for nothing but weaponry to go and kill innocent people. We'll be back after this 3-minute break with our guest today, Ken O'Keefe, and we're going to continue to talk about Netanyahu. What is the purpose of all of this posturing, pomp and circumstance? We'll be back. 3 minutes. Stay tuned. This is Joyce Riley. We're talking to Ken O'Keefe today, and the subject right now we're on is about Israel. Big news. He's coming to the United States. He's going to speak to AIPAC today. He's going to ask for a lot of money, and he's going to want us to attack Iran. Now, what the heck is going on, and why does he have a vested interest in the United States becoming the big bully for Israel to go attack Iran? What is the issue with the nuclear power, alleged nuclear power, and Iran, Ken?
Well, let me go back again just quickly to clarify on a couple of important points, and it'll help make things even clearer for today. When we get back to Kennedy, my opinion of John F. Kennedy is that he was effectively just like every other president and every other politician up until late in his life. And I'm a firm believer that the Cuban Missile Crisis changed him dramatically. He basically followed the orders, did what he was supposed to do, read the script, and he brought the world to the brink of World War III and the end of the world as we know it. And this profoundly changed him. The actions of his latter stages of life are characteristic of somebody who clearly was defying the orders. In particular, he was definitely antagonizing the CIA. He was getting ready to get rid of the CIA. This was very dangerous, of course. He was also looking to force the American Zionist Council, which is the precursor to today's AIPAC, to get it to register as a foreign agent, which would have effectively nullified its ability to buy and own the U.S. Congress. So this was hugely important. Not a whole lot of people pay attention to that, but he was dead set on making sure that it was registered as a foreign agent, and they were at the latter stages of forcing that to happen, and then he got killed. The other thing, he was going to force Israel's nuclear power plant, Dimona, to be inspected. That has not happened to this day. So the things that he was doing were very, very dangerous. They were clearly against the orders. And he also was issuing silver-backed U.S. notes as opposed to Federal Reserve notes, which was probably the most dangerous thing he did. But the bottom line is, bringing us back to today, is that ever since that time, and then the USS Liberty was attacked a few years later, Israel has been taught over and over again that it can do whatever it wants. It literally can get away with anything. Killing 34 American sailors on the USS Liberty, no problem. Covered up by a traitor in Lyndon Baines Johnson. It's done over and over and over again. It has been proven that Israel can do whatever it wants. So when Netanyahu comes here today, he comes with a long history of that understanding. And basically, he's going to come and tell the U.S. Congress what they are going to do. And they are pretty much doing it. For the most part, the Senate is certainly being Republican-controlled. But this idea that the Democrats are in some way opposed to Netanyahu and the Republicans are more aligned is, again, more smoke and mirrors as well. What he's going to ask for is not just the money that you mentioned, but again, for things to be ramped up with Iran. And the whole premise of this is that Iran is secretly developing nuclear weapons or aspiring to do so. And I've actually spent time in Iran. I've looked at this subject in depth. And I can assure those who are listening that there is absolutely zero evidence to support the idea that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons, which, from my perspective, is quite amazing, because if Saddam Hussein taught the world anything, it was that if you want to defend yourself against the empire, you better have yourself a good stockpile of weapons of mass destruction, because disarming and removing your weapons of mass destruction will do nothing for you. And obviously, with when we look at North Korea, we see that this nation, which has nuclear weapons, we hate it and we villainize it all the time, but we're not going to do anything to it other than sanctions. We basically leave it alone, whereas Iran is not developing nuclear weapons, and their supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, which I remember as a kid, you know, during the Iranian hostage crisis, I remember this man being basically the devil incarnate. You know, that's how I always imagined him. But the truth of the matter is that this man and the current supreme leader both made clear that it is haram, it is against God's will to seek nuclear weapons. And the basis of that understanding is that if we believe in God, and I'm supposing that Christians believe in God, as do Muslims and Jewish people, if we believe in God, their reasoning is that God surely wouldn't want us to develop nuclear weapons, and certainly he wouldn't want us to use nuclear weapons. I mean, if you believe God is the creator of all that is, do you really think that God wants one group over every other group, or any group, to develop nuclear weapons and then use those weapons to destroy all that God created? It doesn't make any sense. No. So when you look at it from Iran's perspective, they're actually quite logical and consistent with any kind of sane religious spiritual values. They are not pursuing nuclear weapons. They are the most inspected. They have the most inspected nuclear program on the planet. And the real issue is that we have Israel once again providing us dodgy evidence, just like the dodgy dossier and the weapons of mass destruction charade. The same players are giving us evidence, again, totally fraudulent, in order to justify more persecution of the Iranian people on the basis that they're trying to develop a nuclear weapon. It's a lie, and anyone who looks into it will see that it is a lie. So this man is going to come to Congress and knowingly lie and tell them that they need to step up this policy of antagonizing Iran, which everyone should take note of the fact that if we were to get into a war with Iran, that is almost certainly a world war, because I do not imagine that Russia and China are going to sit on the sidelines while yet another key nation with very important energy reserves, gas and oil, is taken out. It's not going to happen. So what Netanyahu wants is for the American people to be duped and the American traitors in Congress to carry out a policy that will antagonize Iran further and take us into a third world war. This is what he wants. Yeah. And he's a puppet, and that's what his orders are. So
Interesting. Well, you know, we are shown by our master media here in this country some grainy file footage that looks like people that might be from Iran with some flasks in their laboratories, and we're told that means they're making nuclear weapons. And we're supposed to believe that. So what you're saying, though, is that there is a desire for Israel to want the United States to attack Iran. And what is the benefit? I mean, of course, does Israel want the resources of Iran? I mean, what is the benefit? Who benefits here by having Israel attack, or having the United States attack Iran for Israel?
Well, now, in order to answer that question, the first thing that I have to ask the viewers or the listening audience to do is to get out of your mindset of being a sane human being. Because if you're looking at it from a sane perspective, it's not going to work. You've got to get into a psychopath mode. You've got to get into tyrant mode. And you've also got to understand a couple of key things. If you're a tyrant, if you're part of a tiny minority that's running the world, the only way that you can maintain your power over the people is to keep them divided. Never can you allow the people to come together. You can't allow peace. You can't allow prosperity, because people will naturally come together. They will cooperate with each other. So you need people to fight each other. So from that perspective, war is fantastic. It's more important than the money that's made from war. More important than that is getting people to fight each other. Because as long as they're fighting each other, they will not unite. And if, God forbid, they ever unite, they're going to realize who's sitting at the top of the pyramid, pulling all the strings, maintaining this never-ending war policy. Once they find that out, these people are done. They are done. So the reason why they would want to start a war with Iran is that they're psychopaths and they're tyrants, and they know the key to maintaining their position is to keep the people fighting. And at this point, too many people are realizing the truth about the way the world really functions, so they need a third world war. And look at the policies. Are these not policies that are indicative of somebody who would want a third world war? Look at the policy towards Russia. It is insanity. If Russia were doing to us what we've been doing to Russia, i.e., if Russia was spending billions to stir the pot in Mexico and funding people in Mexico to overthrow a democratically elected government, corrupt or not, and to basically start a policy which would increase Russia's expansion towards Mexico and other areas in the Americas, what do you think America would do? I mean, we would have been bombing within 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Russia is dealing with that very scenario and being very cool-headed about it, and thank God for that, because if they are hot-headed, if they do fall into this trap, and they do actually start to respond, we're going to have a third world war. But this is apparently what the powers that be want. And you have to keep in mind one last thing. I'm sure we're coming up on a break here, but you've got to remember, I want to ask the people in the audience as well. Have you ever gotten an invitation to these major underground compounds, these cities that can be self-sustained for years underground? Did you get your invitation yet? Because I didn't get mine, and I don't know if you got yours, Joyce, but at the end of the day, if you don't have an invitation, these psychopaths actually do have invitations to their underground cities, and so they're thinking they can ride out a nuclear war underground while the rest of us sit here and suck on it, and that's just how crazy they are. And this is not a joke. You know, this is not being paranoid. There is a lot of evidence to show that the powers that be want to depopulate the world. The Georgia Guidestones are one example of that, but there are many other examples of this. The powers that be are very aware that people are coming together. Despite all of the lies and all of the instigation of problems, the false flags and whatnot, people are coming together. Their knowledge is increasing. Their understanding of false flags, of the financial fraud, the system that is running the world is too much, and they need to have a third world war. So this is what they're doing.
Yeah, they have to have a third world war. I want to open up the phone lines. I know people are wanting to talk to you at 855-995-6923, 855-995-6923. It just feels so good to hear what you're saying because it makes so much sense out of all the other stuff that we've been told and all this good cop, bad cop game playing that we are subjected to, that is, if you watch television, and some of us are subjected to it more by our own desire than others. And a lot of our listeners just don't watch television, so they don't know the kind of pressure that is on right now. But there is pressure for the United States to go to war with Iran, you know, and to the point where I can't even believe that they are bringing Netanyahu before Congress to talk about the importance of basically beating up on Iran. I can't believe it. I mean, I'm going to be fascinated by how he couches his story tomorrow. I hope he doesn't bring that little bomb thing, remember, that has 70, 80, and 90% on the bomb. That was just like the stupidest cartoon thing I've ever seen a person do, especially a leader of a country. But I mean, go ahead.
You know, what was really shocking about that last appearance is the 29 standing ovations, which Anthony Lawson, who passed on earlier this year, did a fantastic video. I encourage people to go look at it on YouTube. Anthony Lawson, the End of Democracy, I think it was called. And he did a fantastic video showing these sycophants, these disgusting traitors in the U.S. Congress, falling over themselves to impress their master or the puppet of their master, Netanyahu. 29 standing ovations they gave this war criminal.
Oh,
disgusting.
You know, and wasn't it their people, in quotes, that brought us "Thou shalt not kill"? I mean, it amazes me that the worst of the worst killing that goes on is done by those that said they got the message that you're not supposed to do it. Anyway, let's go to Kent in West Virginia. Kent in West Virginia, you're on the air with Ken O'Keefe. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Well, just a few minutes ago up on my RT feed, it says, quote, Jordanian king urges World War III to defeat ISIS threat. So we'll see what's going on. And I've heard you...
Okay, you said World
times.
War III, the Jordanian king. Say that again,
yeah,
because you've...
It just came up on the RT. It says the headline is Jordanian king urges World War III to defeat ISIS threat.
Wow.
So we know where we're headed. I've heard you several times, Ken, on Iranian radio. You know, they construct these debates, and there's some guy from San Francisco that I think is on there quite a bit. And And the thing that I've often thought, and you're the type of high-profile and combative guy that could always do it, but this anti-Semitism, this thing that they always throw out, and it seems to me like, now I know this is asking you to be sort of a, take a sort of a gutter approach, and where there's you're very intelligent, you know, intelligent arguments can't defeat these people. And you just got to start calling them anti-non-Semites.
You're calling them what? You keep blacking out.
Anti-non-Semites.
Anti-non-Semites?
Yeah.
In other words, it's just like a childish little school game where you're this and you're that, you know. And that's the only way to defeat them, I think, you know. And I just want to suggest it to you because I know that you're the, you know, you're the type of guy that could do it and really challenge them on that and just put that old Marine gung-ho into it, you know. And it's just an idea I've always had.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. You know, these people. I wish they would put on these debate programs some of their top people, but they'll never do it. You know, they have their little whorehouse known as the mainstream media that they can frequent, and in that whorehouse they can say whatever they want and be unchallenged, and it's all good. But if they put them on a program with someone like myself or many other people who are very much aware and could easily destroy them. They know that they'll be destroyed. So you kind of almost have to let them speak. I'm actually quite happy to have these nutcases speak because what they're saying in the past was much more received. But today, more and more people are seeing it for what it is. So just let them open their mouth. Netanyahu actually coming to Congress is good, too. Let him open his mouth. Some people will be fooled, but more and more are not.
All right. Thank you very much, Kent. Good call. Let's go to Billy Bob in Iowa. I'll hold you over. Billy Bob, go ahead. Oh, nope. There we go. Didn't get started. I'll hold you over after this 3-minute break with the Power Hour. Stay tuned. Ken O'Keefe is our guest today. And go to his website. It's at the Power Hour guest section. And also, it is kenokeefe.wordpress.com is his blog. We'll be back. 3 minutes. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. We have Ken O'Keefe until 5 after the hour. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot of callers. The website, worldcitizen.uk.net. Worldcitizen.uk.net. And his blog is kenokeefe.wordpress.com. kenokeefe.wordpress.com. And also a YouTube channel, too. So please take advantage of checking out the information on Ken O'Keefe. Let's see here. Billy Bob in Iowa. Billy Bob, you're on the air. Go ahead, please, with Ken O'Keefe.
Morning, one and all. You know, as Shakespeare so eloquently put, all the world is the stage. And the media caught on that a long time ago, and they really took over in 1980, Reagan administration. And that's a dangerous president to take over a media because they can boss the politicians all around and do the bidding. And we know the money changers, the cabalists, the den of thieves are the ones who's controlling the media. And do you think that we could go after somebody like Boko Haram, that little ragtag group? Oh, of course not. Good guys, no. You know, the reason they're going after Putin and Russia and everything, they're still smarting from Putin coming in and taking the oligarchs and whatnot and shooting them out. And most of them escaped to Israel, of course, there's no extradition treaty, so they could just run away. See, they want to take over Russia, Mother Russia, just like they did pre-World War II Germany, and just like they've done in this country. We've completely caved into Israel. And you can see Israel, they're setting up all these countries. They knocked down Saddam Hussein. They knocked down Libya. Gaddafi, and they kept the Libya and them, Gaddafi and them kept the glue that kept all this together. So what they did, these Israel boys, they're in cahoots with Jordan and Saudi Arabia. You wouldn't think they would be, but they've got a bigger goal of mine. They all do over there. But they knew they could go get these tribal leaders all stirred up the hornet's nest and everything, and make Muslims look completely bad and for their financial gain. And they are doing a well at it. And as long as the Palestinians keep doing the dying and the stock market keeps reaching record highs that we're paying for, everything's fine. So I don't know what the big problem is. And Ken, I'm glad you're on the show. And Joyce, keep up the good work. And
you
are truly a person of whom walks her talk. And you are far and few between, just like with Dr. Stan. I didn't agree with everything that Dr. Stan said, but I would follow that man along with you in any battle, physical or whatever, with undying support. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I am informed. I'm not just some Johnny completely. I know what's going on. So I thank you kindly.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You know, people are getting it. We have a unique group of people that listen to this program that are very bright, very smart. I mean, this is not your average caller here. These are people who understand.
And, when you hear a name like Billy Bob, you assume that he's going to be hating Muslims and going perfectly in line with that program, and it's really, really good to hear. Not that I'm being stereotyping here, but the bottom line is Americans are being led to believe that all Muslims are a bunch of fanatics and they hate us all and blah, 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 and it's simply not true.
That is so true. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Charles in North Carolina, you're on the air with Ken O'Keefe. Go ahead, please.
Greetings in Jesus' name, Joyce and Ken.
Hi there.
Greetings. Aloha.
Got three questions for you, Ken.
Sure thing.
Speak to George Washington's farewell address.
Okay, we're having trouble hearing you. Say it again. Okay, ask one question. Ask one question for our guests. We're going to go up against a break. Go ahead.
Okay. George Washington's farewell address dealing with favored nation status. Can you speak to that? Two more were real important, but go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Give me your summary of your understanding of it. Let me respond to that, okay? Just if you could do it quickly, though.
Okay, well, we got to go to break. We'll come back after this break. 1 minute, 10 seconds. That's all we're going to be gone. We'll be back. 1 minute, 10 seconds, and Washington's farewell address. Stay tuned. This is the Power Hour. Ken O'Keefe, we've only got him for about 3 more minutes. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. We're talking to our guest today, Ken O'Keefe. We have Charles in North Carolina. You wanted to say something about Washington's, you know, that's kind of a big subject. What did you want to say, or what do you want him to respond to, Charles?
To the part where Washington was talking about holding nations in favorite nation status and what that would breed among the other nations.
Yeah.
It's a real interesting study.
I'm with you. I mean, and it's true. You know, trade with everyone, ally with no one. I agree with that. You know, it has been a disaster. This unholy alliance that we've created with other nations around the world is actually the web of power that is continuing this mad path down towards World War III. It's absolutely crazy. People should also realize when you talk about trade, this is a form of warfare. This is what brought Japan into World War II. The same things that we're doing to Russia and to Iran is what we were doing to Japan, and that was, of course, intended to create a third world war to foster a full scale second world war. So I think, you know, what Washington said in his final address, there's a lot of stuff in what he said and really powerful, and I would think we've made mistakes by not heeding it, but I certainly agree with the idea that we shouldn't be aligned with anybody and we should be trading with everyone.
Sure. All right. Thank you very much for that. Let me go to Ralph in Michigan. Ralph in Michigan, you're on the air. Final caller for our guest probably today, Ken O'Keefe. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I really enjoy the conversation you all having, and you're hitting a lot of points really good. You know, and it's funny. It's like you, Joyce, at the beginning of the program, we're talking about, you know, even gold and silver might not have a value anymore. You know, because what's going on is it's the spiritual thing that's being led. You know, we got false patriotism being taught to a lot of people, false Christianity that's being taught to a lot of people, and people are kind of running to and fro. You know, the Bible says that even the gold and silver will be thrown in the street because they'll hold no value. It's the food that people need, not the gold and silver. you know, because they're going to be wanting to just survive. And, you know, the spiritualness that is being led right now is not the spiritualness of God. It's the spiritualness of demons and Satan. And that's exactly, you know, if you look through history, you know, it's like Hillary. He says, if we don't win, I'm going to drag them all down and burn them. You know, and that's exactly what's going on. And I see so many people that don't see that. They just all want to join a side.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, Ralph. Good point. Good point. We'll be able to get to Francis in North Carolina. Francis, you're on the air with Ken O'Keefe. Go ahead, please. Oh, lost Francis. Okay. Are there any more callers in? Or did they drop off? Okay. What would you like to say in, we've only got a couple of minutes left here. It's all about everybody talking, teaching, and helping others to understand what we've learned here today. But anything else you'd like to add, please, Ken?
Well, I really feel that this Netanyahu appearance at the Congress is a fantastic opportunity. I would really encourage everybody who's listening to watch the speech. Watch it and marvel at the traitors in U.S. Congress. And talk to your friends and your family and point out the fact that this foreign head of state has really instigated this kind of fawning, really bend-over mentality of these traitors in Congress. Because if there is any one thing that I imagine could wake up the slumbering false patriots out there, it will be the understanding that your nation has indeed been hijacked. The Founding Fathers warned us of this, and it's happened. And there is no way to be patriotic in this country while you are sitting by and allowing the U.S. Constitution, which is almost dead at this point, the U.S. Constitution. These people swore to uphold the U.S. Constitution, as I did, as did every military member, as does every politician. They swore to uphold it. They have breached that trust. They are committing treason. And to support a government and a military, quite frankly, those at the head of the military who are carrying out policies of a hostile foreign agent, that is not being patriotic. And my hope is, and my belief is, that the American patriots will rise at some point, and that's going to compel us to arrest the traitors in Congress and the White House.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to having you on next month again with us. And you are amazingly outspoken in such a way. You are so articulate, and you've got such a handle on what is happening. Oh, one quick thing. CNN's going to be doing a big special on what happened to the MH370. I'm sure they'll have an answer for us. Do you have an answer about what happened to the MH370?